Welcome to the final bonus episode of season one of the Three Sad Bastards. We're going to explore the effect of alcohol on music appreciation. And if you enjoy the odd drunken laugh, then keep listening. But if you don't, and you easily get offended, then we encourage you to tune out. All right. So the bonus edition, this is the last episode of season one.
And it's quite possibly the last episode ever.
No, we got more than three subscribers. We're good. We're doing season two. So just to set us off, I've had two gin and tonics, one and a half bottles of wine, and I'm on the tail end of that last bottle. So, and then it's whiskey time. So I think I've qualified. I'm halfway there. SB2, what have you had?
Oh, good question. I have had a beer, a lovely Italian Minabria, which I really enjoy. I've had a Negroni, which was excellent and a bit hipster. And then I had a bottle of wine. And things became fuzzy for a while. And now I've onto some whiskey.
Okay, SB3.
I'm clearly a long way behind you guys. I've had probably half a bottle of very nice French Pinot. And prior to that, I had a beer, which was an oatmeal stout.
Oh, nice.
It was cold. I was really cold, and I thought, I feel like a stout, like a good stout. And I happened to have an oatmeal stout, which is just beautiful.
What's that? You've got gout. What?
I've got gout. I will, actually.
I know you're a sad bastard, but I didn't realize you're an old sad bastard.
Gout, they say.
What's the definition of old?
Older than me.
No. I've got an audiophile definition. Someone who can't listen to more, who can't hear the difference above 10 kilohertz.
But claims they can hear the difference between interconnect cables.
I know.
It's amazing.
So I tested this out today, by the way. I tested that I can hear up to about 15 kilohertz. And then it gets a bit, you know, I can maybe convince myself. And then after 15 or 16, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I think, what about you guys? What can you listen to?
So I was listening actually quite recently on my son was playing around with some kind of music software and on my laptop, and I'm quite sure the speakers probably don't go that high, I certainly could hear to 14. I thought I could hear to 15 and not above that. And my son was like, can't you hear it? And he was up at 20, I reckon. But I was actually surprised.
Cut his ears off. Just cut his ears off so that you can get, you know, your ears to listen to 20 kilohertz.
I honestly did not think I could get anywhere near 15. I was quite pleased.
Mm. What about USB2?
Oh, 20 easy.
20, yeah.
Wow. Sorry, SB2, can you speak up? I can't quite hear you.
20 kilohertz, no problems. Like, and I just want to point out, I'm the only one without glasses in this triumphant.
No, sorry, it's still too high. Can you just deepen your voice a bit? You sound like a girl.
I could do 20 kilohertz without a problem.
Okay, now I got you.
One thing I've noticed about a lot of speaker specs, and it seems to be more with modern speakers, is that they go to 30 or 35, 50. 40 at the bottom end, but they go up to 50 at the top end. And it's like, why?
It's because of those high bandwidth amplifiers that go to 300 kilohertz.
Surely you don't want to go to 300 kilohertz.
Oh, if it was recorded, you want it there. Whether you can hear it or not, does it really matter? It's got to be there. You've got to reproduce it.
That's what high fidelity is, right?
Okay. Are you going to let me off the leash finally?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
All right. So does alcohol seriously improve the sound of your system? And can I just say, general relativity, special relativity, quantum mechanics are all up for grabs here. Seriously. If the cat is dead, it's fine. So does alcohol improve the sound of your system relatively?
I think it certainly improves the enjoyment of your system.
From your frame of reference.
From my frame of reference. Very good, very good.
Boom, boom.
Yes. So
no one needs to comment on that.
It's a first-year physics joke. Come on, a first-year physics joke. It's awesome. For those of us that actually did physics.
We have to introduce Heisenberg's cat or something as well.
Oh, we use Heisenberg, don't we, Johnny? Heisenberg? For audio editing?
It's Heisenberg's Aris. We don't know whether he's alive or dead, but he's fucking annoying in any case.
All right. So I'll ask the question in a different way because otherwise I'm not going to get an answer. SB2, Johnny.
Yes.
When you're drunk, like you are now, does music sound better on your system?
All right. Every episode I give a journey. And I'm going to say emphatically yes. And I'll give an example. Last night, we were supposed to record this episode, but we didn't because somebody just ditched us.
Family time, apparently. Yeah, right. What does that mean?
We've had family time for the last 4 weeks. But anyway, so I decided that I would listen to my all-time favorite track for listening when I'm drunk.
Tell us what the track is, SB2.
Tangerine Dream, and the album is Rubicon.
Is that what you've been listening to?
That's when I'm really drunk, that's what I love. And I thought, I listened to it on my turntable, went to my turntable, went, oh, fuck, the belt's still off my turntable. I'm too drunk to put it on. I just don't give a fuck anymore. I hate that turntable. I'm going to buy a new one. Thank you, SB1, SB3. So I put it on my Rune, and I loved it. I just thought, this is fantastic. And then I fell asleep.
For all those people at Rune who are listening to our podcast, we would happily take any sort of monetary consideration for mentioning your product. Over to you, Johnny.
So I fell asleep, like as I always did, and then I woke up and Aris, you called me, and I was talking about Rubicon. And
Shit.
I've been listening to this for years, and only last night did I realize there's actually two tracks on the album. I love the album so much. I always fall asleep during the first one. I've never listened to the second one.
Surprise!
Hang on. So you fell asleep not because you were plastered. You fell asleep because the album puts you to sleep.
No, I was blasted.
Well, hang on. But hang on. Let's work this through logically. I don't know. This is hard at the moment.
Yeah.
But does that mean you've only ever listened to that album when you've been plastered?
Yes.
Okay. That was easy.
And I've only ever listened to it on plastered. I've never got past the first track. Now, I just realized that after years of listening to it. Then afterwards, I listened to the second track and also didn't like it anyway.
It's okay, so it's a bit like the Cocteau Twins where you listen to them and you go, I think I understand. And then you tune out and then before you know it, the album's finished and you have no idea what went on.
I think, speaking of that, I think there are some albums that you have to listen to when you're a bit off your tree on, you know, alcohol or something, because otherwise they just don't make a lot of sense. So
pray tell, SB3, what do you mean off your tree?
Well, I mean mm-hmm. off your tree. I mean anything early Pink Floyd, for example. Or
oh, you mean drugged up, don't you?
Drugged up, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Sudafed, codeine, is that what you mean?
Yeah, sometimes those cold and flu tablets, so they can affect things.
So Trev, SB3, my go-to album when I'm hammered is Tangerine Dream, Rubicon, track one. What about yours?
I don't think I have a go-to drunk album. I think I tend to stay away from the turntable because I know I'm going to damage something. So I tend to go for Rune, my favourite piece of software. And it tends to be either something really wacky, like some, you know, experimental jazz from the 60s, or I tend to go back to my youth and put on some kind of headbanging stuff.
Kiss.
And crank it. I never liked Kiss. I have to put it out there.
But you were made for loving me, Trevor.
Were you made for loving me, Aris?
Oh, my God.
Only tonight.
Seriously, this has gone so wrong so far.
I didn't realize your tongue was so long. Seriously, Kiss is a band that I've never understood. I don't like them. Apart from that song, that's the one song I like. So, yeah, back to what we're talking about. My go-to tends to be headbanging.
Okay, typically. Headbanging.
Headbanging or really way out, just crazy shit. Or Pink Floyd.
Okay, a classic, right? Classic.
Pink Floyd. Actually, the classics are good. Pink Floyd, The Doors are actually really good. When
Dire Straits for Johnny. He said that last time.
Yeah,
last
Dire episode. Straits is good, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't play it anymore because my turntable is fucked because I got a shit turntable for a mate.
All right. Well, let's give it in context. For the last week, if you have been inebriated somewhat, what music have you listened to drunk this week since the last episode? SB2, what have you listened to?
So I've been listening to a little bit of Liebach, but I have also also listened to a lot of Nick Cave this week.
His cheerful stuff or his...
Sorry, what do you mean? I don't think I've discovered any of that.
Yeah, or his more recent, Maudlin stuff.
No, it's more his Maudlin stuff. So I listened to his Skeleton Tree album this week, which I have been determined to listen to because it is awesome, but it is emotionally distressing.
Did you realize that there's more than one track on that album, Johnny? Yeah,
I have, unfortunately. It brings me to tears every time I listen to it, but I feel I should.
So I'm getting an impression that there's heavy industrial, emotionally angsty, depressing, sad, lamenting music, and some techno doof doof. That's SB1 when he's drunk. That tells me a lot about your youth, Johnny. SB2, sorry. SB3, what's your go-to music for the last week or two, you know, when you've had one too many?
So I haven't been listening that much when I've been very smashed, because I haven't been very smashed. But what I have been listening to, I've sort of been following covers. So I recently discovered that the Santana, what I thought was a Santana song, Black Magic Woman, was actually a Fleetwood Mac song.
What?
Mm.
Originally, Fleetwood Mac had
no this. Way.
Yep. So in their early incarnation, they had a guy in their band called Peter Green, and they were a blues band, and they did some really, really awesome stuff.
But different to what we normally know of Fleetwood Mac.
So I've been first stop you right there. Black Magic Woman done by Fleetwood Mac would be shit by Santana.
No, the older.
Not, yeah, it doesn't sound anything like the Fleetwood Mac that you're thinking of, SB2. It's a good, really good British blues, you know, sort of in the Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes vein of blues.
Wow.
So I've been listening to quite a lot of that. And then I'm a big blues fan, so actually found online a concert of Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy
is awesome blues guitarist, Chicago blues. He's 85 now, but this is a concert.
Is he still going?
Yeah.
I can't believe he's still alive.
He is still alive. So, yeah, that's stuff I've been listening to.
It's fantastic, blues. Trevor.
Yeah.
Blues kind of really fits the profile of, you know, whiskey or some rye or some JD, listening to blues regardless of where it comes from and getting into it.
SB1, what have you been listening to?
Well, okay, so it's COVID season. And so every day at about 5 o'clock, 5:30, the gin and tonics come out. So within a few hours after cooking, because I've been cooking every night, I'm already halfway there. So my go-to albums for being slightly in the zone, so to speak, is Joni Mitchell's Blue.
Really? Why would you listen to that?
Oh, it's just beautiful. Seriously, you just put that on. You on record, of course. So you only have to get up once. Yeah, it's just a beautiful album. I mean, I can't say anything bad about that album. While I'm drunk and cooking, then there's, you know, Ostra is my go-to. So I listen to a lot of Ostra, Canadian band out of Toronto. If I get really, really inspired, I'll mix it up with some, you know, Australian pub rock. But Blue and Ostra, there you go. There, that's what I've been listening to. And you know what? It sounds better. It sounds better no matter what.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course you can, Johnny.
All questions are welcome.
So I have a confession to make. When I am drunk and I come into my study, which is where I'm recording at the moment, although it's a cubic room, it is well insulated from the rest of the house, so I can enjoy myself. And invariably, I sit on the couch behind my listening environment and I listen, put some music on and fall asleep.
Is there a lock on your door? Is that what you mean by enjoy yourself?
No. Is that what you guys do? Do you just fall asleep or do you actually listen to music?
SB3, do you want to answer that question?
I don't know what it was. Do we fall asleep? No, I don't. No.
Oh, wow. Weird.
See, Trevor knows that Tangerine Dream has more than one track on that album.
Well, in my defense, it's a fucking long track to start off with.
I do sometimes fall asleep to music, but not, you know, it's not.
Not generally?
Not generally. It depends what it is. And depends what time of night I'm listening, but it's not, yeah, no, I don't sort of drink a lot and then fall asleep. How can you say you're enjoying the music more or your system sounds better if you're asleep? How do you even know?
That's what we're exploring.
It's a bit kind of Schrodinger, isn't it? You know, does your system sound good if no one can hear it?
No, it's not at all. And unlike you guys, I actually did some being the most analytical out of us, I did some research last night preparing for a podcast about why is it I enjoy music more when I'm drunk.
Yeah, I did too, Johnny.
No, I didn't. Although I do remember reading a study a while ago that said objectively your hearing gets worse.
But let's essentially decompose that. What do we mean, enjoy it? How is it we enjoy it more when we're drunk?
You're even more analytical when you're drunk, John. Decompose enjoyment.
He's more argumentative when he's drunk, that's for sure.
No, last night I actually did some research.
Hang on. When you say what does enjoyment mean, are you trying to quantify something that's completely subjective?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, let's explore it.
So last night when I was sitting there and I was going, I really enjoy this music. Tangerine Dream, track one, Rubicon.
I really enjoy the only track on Rubicon 1. Funny how there's only one track on the album.
Yeah, because I fell asleep. But anyway, yeah, I was trying to work out why I really enjoyed it. And there's two things about it. One, I enjoyed the feeling of the music sort of...
Oh, sorry, I just yawned. I almost fell asleep there, Johnny. Can you get on with it? Because we only have one listener and he's about to go to bed.
Yeah, that listener is me. Okay, Karen, let me just go on.
Okay.
I enjoy the music, but the other thing I really enjoy is I have a heightened enjoyment of the sound. So there's like little digital things going on in the Rubicon thing. And I love the sounds. I was fascinated by the sounds moving around the soundstage. To me, that was awesome. And when I'm sober, actually, I become a lot more critical about these dicky little tropes that they use.
So that's an interesting point, SP2, because I think it's, yeah, I think the things that take us away from being analytical about, particularly if, you know, we're thinking about our systems sound and we're sad bastards, the things that take us away from being analytical are the things that help us enjoy our systems more. So it could be having a nice drink, it could be being smashed, it could be... I know the other day I was preparing dinner and I put on Fleetwood Mac. No, was it? No, Dire Straits. It was Dire Straits. Had it cranked up and I was not drinking anything, but it was just really good fun and I really enjoyed it. I wasn't listening to, you know, how the drums move from side to side or the soundstage.
Were you singing along, Mr. Trevor? Were you singing along to Money for Nothing and Your Chicks for Free?
Yes, I was. And let me tell you, I'm the person in my household who has the worst voice by a long shot, but I'm singing nonetheless. My point was that, you know, there are probably many ways of getting us to stop analyzing our systems and enjoying them more. One of them, obviously, is alcohol. The other one is some serious drugs. And the other one is just doing other stuff like dancing or, I don't know. It's not just alcohol that does it. Alcohol does do it well, mind you.
Could I offer a view here, which is consistent with a finding in an early episode, that the best upgrade you can have to your system is alcohol?
But it doesn't last.
It doesn't need to. All you have to do is be drunk every time you listen to music.
It's a very expensive upgrade, Johnny.
It's a very cheap upgrade. For the amount you pay for your speakers, I could be drunk for the rest of my life.
Over a year, I guarantee you, you probably spend more on wine than the cost of my system.
I do not believe it in the slightest.
That's a good point. Why don't you kind of add up how much you spend on booze? And I've got no idea how much it would be, and go, okay, I'm going to not drink for a year, and I'd spend...
fucking stop that, Trev. That's terrible.
A crazy amount of money on a real upgrade. It's worth thinking about, isn't it?
No, it's not, because the amount of money
Let's say you drank a bottle of $25 bottle of wine every night for 365 days. That's about $10,000 a year Aussie. Johnny, just remember that next time. You could just spend more money on your system. You could upgrade. In 2 years' time, you could upgrade and get the benefit and then keep drinking anyway.
Yeah, I honestly believe that the best value upgrade to your stereo is a cheap bottle of red wine.
Nah, cables. Cables are the only thing that is the cheapest form of upgrade to your system.
cheaper.
Seriously, I just don't believe you've gone there.
Do you know, if you get a really nice bottle of French wine and you dip your cables, just the end in, because you don't want to get it completely soaked.
The Pinot, the Pinot or the Cabernet edition?
Well, it depends. Depends on what you want to do.
The conductiveness or the inductance? I'm not sure which one it is. Or is it the resistance?
I don't know. Maybe one Pinot at one end and Cabernet at the other end of the cable.
That would balance the sound, wouldn't it? Yeah. That'd actually be pretty good.
You have to remember which end is which, though, because you can't...
Oh, because it's directional. They are directional. Yeah.
Okay, so I vote for the Pinot on the amplifier end and the Cabernet on the DAC end. I swap them around and see if it makes a difference.
Look, I think it depends on what music. I mean, if you like, you know, really funky Pinot goes with, obviously, that kind of music.
What are you talking about, Trev?
I don't know.
SP3's lost the plot. So, okay. Now, let's just get back on track. Okay. I'm not going to skip SP3's suggestion that we talk about other drugs because this is a family edition. Okay, SP2, tell us the drug story.
I don't have one. No, I don't have one. That's my drug story.
All right, SB3, do you really want to talk about drugs? Because I think this is a PG-related...
No, I don't have a drug story. I thought maybe you guys would.
Look, we're respectable members of society that we don't do drugs.
We don't endorse it.
No, we don't do them.
And we don't do it.
It's not just about the audio reproduction. It's about the enjoyment. So I have a Beano sound box thingy in my living area, and I love it.
That's because you're always drunk when you're listening to it. You're cooking, you're drunk listening to whatever. And I reckon it's not because of the system or the environment. It's because you're drunk.
Exactly right. I don't deny that and don't discount that. I have as much great listening experiences in my kitchen listening to my Beano as I do in my study sober listening to my keys.
So SB1, can I extend what you were just saying there? So you're basically saying the only reason that SB2 enjoys his B&O system is because he's drunk, and by extension the only reason he enjoys his key system is because he's drunk, because
it's an entry-level system.
You need to drink to make systems like that sound good.
That's right. What you're saying, that's right. Yeah. Look, I'm glad you caught on to that little sort of intro there, SB3. The entry-level systems that exist out there, and look, you know, we shouldn't judge people who have entry-level systems. Yeah, if they have to get drunk to enjoy them, who am I to argue? SB2?
If the idea of enjoyment is just a pissing contest, then money is the way to go.
It's not a pissing contest.
Enjoyment, it's a different story.
It's objective reality.
Yeah, subjective. It's a subjective objectionalism.
I object to that.
I subject to that.
I second that. All in favour? Aye.
Aye.
All right, John. We've all agreed you've got an entry-level system.
So, speaking of entry-level systems and speaking
that
of
you can system, only enjoy if you get drunk. Actually, John, can you try to put on an album right now? Because I'd love to see it.
Sure. No, on
your record.
No, because the belt is still on the platter where I left it 3 weeks ago.
This isn't a classic example of where alcohol consumption actually detracts on music appreciation. Not just at the moment, because John couldn't listen to music on his record player, but in the future. So there's no way John can even bother pretend to put the belt back on. So by being drunk, he's actually detracted from his music appreciation.
Because we all know that records sound better.
Of course. So now it's detracted from his musical appreciation. Not, you know, all the arguments he made before about it increases it. Now we've just proven by exception that it actually detracts. So, John, what's the real story?
The real story is I love the turntable. I just hate the fucking belt drive and the little anti-skidding weight which falls off every time I bounce on my floor. I just can't believe you guys bought me such a shit turntable.
We thought that you'd actually, because it's got so many fiddly bits and you're a kind of fiddly person, that you'd enjoy it.
No.
You need to upgrade to a direct drive.
Clear audio. No, clear audio. Clear audio is what. No, look, going back to enjoyment, Yeah, there's two modes of enjoyment for me. One is when I'm really analytical and I want to hear good musicianship, intelligent
lyrics. Can you say that word again?
Musicianship, good lyrics, really excellent recordings. And it can be in any genre. So whether it's, you know,
Liebach.
Tangerine.
Or, you know, Hildegard or whatever. It's the whole spectrum. So there's two parts to my enjoyment. So one is all about the analytics and really appreciate it on an intellectual perspective. And then when I get drunk, it's all about, oh, fuck, that sounds great. Yeah, I let myself go and I enjoy it pretty much for what the music is. So I can listen to all kinds of shit. And both are equally valid as far as I'm concerned. So is one is about the system and reproduction. The other one is about the music and just fun. Reproduction actually isn't that important. It's about context. It's about content. It's not just about how the music sounds.
A shocking thing to say, John, but you are correct. For an audiophile, that's a shocking thing to say.
I'm not sold.
Really? Nah. Paris? Nah. Honestly?
Good is good. Bad is bad. If you're drunk, then you're basically deceived. And you could be listening to AM radio or what have you. So let's not kid ourselves, right? The system is either good or bad. Your mental state is your mental state. The system is still what it is.
Fair. That's a reasonable point. But is it about whether your system's good or is it about whether you enjoy the music?
But I think what we've come down to is that we enjoy music at all levels. Whether we're drunk, we enjoy it. Whether we're not drunk, we enjoy it. That doesn't change the relative quality or enjoyment of your system or your hi-fi, your experience, like the Schrodinger's cat, doesn't just disappear and become shit the moment you don't look at it.
Oh, that's good.
It's deep.
It's very deep. Well, I think we should explore this a bit.
SB2 is gone. He's fallen asleep. Seriously. So is the answer drink more wine or drink more?
But I think if you're being analytical about it, you need to do a proper test. Let's call it a blind test, where you
blind,
yourself,
get it?
You get yourself, yeah, exactly. So you're sitting there you're sitting there the next day and you're going, my system doesn't sound as good as it did last night. Why? What's the difference? You know,
the cables.
Is it the cables? Is it the fact that I'd had a bottle of wine? Is it that the power quality is better during the night? Who knows? But you've got to eliminate those things. And the way to eliminate them is, one of them, the easiest way, is to just drink during the day.
Yeah. We are in COVID season, and that is possible. If you don't have gainful employment, that is actually a reasonable way to spend your days.
I'll start day drinking, actually.
So, Trev, does music improve appreciation of music? That was the topic, and I think the answer is yes, but we've gone way off tangent. What's the morning after? You've enjoyed your system. You've had a great night. What's the morning after? Is it regret? Is it reality kicking in?
Do you respect what your system in the morning?
I just apologize.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So there's some pretty interesting stories of how music, in particular inebriated states, have been enhanced by hi-fi, high-end hi-fi, I think, or in some cases, really low-fi hi-fi, but that's okay.
Can I just roll back here?
Yeah, you can.
We're talking
you about, are rolling back, John. It looks like you're going to fall off your chair.
It's about to fall asleep, actually. Yeah, is alcohol a good addition to someone's hi-fi? What's the verdict?
What's the verdict? Okay, let's go around the table and then close off, shall we? Or finish off, or what? I can wipe you guys down.
Just leave that there.
Look, SB2. Without alcohol, hi-fi is meaningless.
SB3. Without alcohol, hi-fi is meaningless.
Yep. I'm just putting it out there as a...
Fuck, that's deep.
Wow. I don't agree. I don't agree at all.
No, nor do I, but I thought I'd say it.
Oh, well, why would you say that stuff? That's just wrong.
That's like a red flag to the bulls, the three sad bulls.
So my view is alcohol is a
It has a multiplicative effect?
Yeah. I reckon if I was talking about the most influential musical experiences I've ever had. It's when I'm drunk, emotionally charged, and listening to some music.
And with me, Johnny. And with me. Go on, fess up, fess up.
That would not be the case. No, not at all. That would be ridiculous. Aris, what do you think?
I think to our original topic, does alcohol increase music appreciation? The answer is yes, it does. I think we've gone down to a road that says, you know, advanced high fidelity music systems take it to another level. I think I would agree to that 100% too. The only thing that I would disagree with is that alcohol should be treated in the same way as another component of your hi-fi. Just keep drinking and it'll keep getting better. I don't agree with that at all. I actually think there's a reality in hi-fi that is what it is, and you can temporarily sort of enhance it, skew it, change your perception through alcohol or any other thing, and, you know, go for it. But that's temporary. Your best bet is to enjoy while you can, and then put your money where your experience is and upgrade your system continually forever and ever and ever.
Like drinking better and better wine.
And keep drinking more and more. It doesn't have to be better wine. It has to be more. Okay, that's my view. Episode for us. It's the last bonus episode, the only bonus end episode for season one. We hope you've enjoyed it. I think we've proven that we are not just sad bastards, but very drunk sad bastards some of the times. We will finish this season on this note. We look forward, now that we've got more than two subscribers, we're definitely doing season two. Lots of really fascinating things coming, topics coming in season two. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, I think that was one of our most epic.
Worst.
Epic.
Worst.
Episodes terrible. Ever.
I think now, John, you're going to have to edit yourself out a lot.
So can I just say, Johnny?
Yeah, you wait till you sober up, Johnny.